Thanks, Kane. Welcome in Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. And we'll go live now to Washington, D.C. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi discussing the status of the impeachment inquiry live from the Speaker's balcony hallway.
Extensive injustice. In his great wisdom, he knew that injustice committed by the president erodes the rule of law. The very idea that of fair justice, which is the bedrock of our democracy. And if we allow a president to be above the law, we do so surely at the peril of our republic. In America, no one is above the law. Over the past few weeks, through the Intelligence Committee working with the Foreign Affairs and Oversight Committees, the American people have heard the testimony of truly patriotic career public servants, distinguished diplomats, and decorated war heroes, some of the president's own appointees. The facts are uncontested. The president abused his power for his own personal political benefit at the expense of our national security by withholding military aid and crucial Oval Office meeting in exchange for an announcement of an investigation into his political rival. Yesterday, the Judiciary Committee, the American people heard testimony from leading American constitutional scholars who illuminated without a doubt that the president's actions are a profound violation of the public trust. The president's actions have seriously violated the Constitution, especially when he says and acts upon the belief Article 2 says I can do whatever I want. No. His wrongdoing strikes at the very heart of our Constitution, a separation of powers, three co-equal branches, each a check and balance on the other. A republic, if we can keep, said Benjamin Franklin. Our democracy is what is at stake. The president leaves us no choice but to act, because he is trying to corrupt once again the election for his own benefit. The president has engaged in abuse of power, undermining our national security and jeopardizing the integrity of our elections. His actions are in defiance of the vision of our founders and the oath of office that he takes to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Sadly, but with confidence and humility, with allegiance to our founders and a heart full of love for America, today I am asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment. I commend our committee chairs and our members for their somber approach to actions which I wish the president had not made necessary. In signing the Declaration of Independence, our founders invoked a firm reliance on divine providence. Democrats, too, are prayerful, and we will proceed in a manner worthy of our oath of office to support and defend the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic. So help us God. Thank you.
All right, so House Speaker Nancy Pelosi there calling on the House to proceed with the articles of impeachment. And it was interesting when she called that press conference. Hey, this is Dalton Norwig sitting in Mobile Mornings. Mark Holliday with me.
Good morning.
On this Thursday morning, and we'll be joined by Rob Holbert later this hour from Lanyap to talk some local and state politics. But yeah, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, you know, she called this press conference, I think yesterday afternoon, let everyone know she'd be speaking at 8 a.m., and that brought a lot of questions. Because there have been some rumblings that maybe the House would not carry through with the impeachment, maybe right. Instead decide to censure the president or go about it another way, because as it stands right now, it doesn't look like any of the Republicans in the Senate, well, the Republicans in the Congress will probably vote mostly along party lines. There may be a few right. A few that jump to the other side, but Senate seems like all the Republicans are holding steady on that. And also, so once this passes from the House to a trial in the Senate, it doesn't look like the president will be removed from office. So,
I think that's almost a foregone conclusion. The only ones you have that might defect from the party ranks is Romney,
mm-hmm.
Maybe Murkowski of Alaska, and Susan Collins, perhaps.
And
so, you know. And that, I think in need, what do they need, 13?
I thought it was either 17 or 19. I need to re-up on that information. There's so many numbers that, that pass
right.
through. But
right.
But the question for Democrats was, is it worth it? And have they gone too far to turn back now? Because I'm sure that they were hoping that throughout the first committee, the Intelligence Committee that brought the witnesses and had the hearings that went for hours on end for a couple mm-hmm. weeks long, mm-hmm. they hoped that that would change some minds in the Republican Senate and also in the minds of Americans that are anti-impeachment. And it doesn't seem that that has happened. So would they have been smart to pull back and instead decide to go about this a different manner rather than facing the trial in Senate, losing that? And then where does that leave the president when it comes to 2020 reelection?
I think it comes down to the fact that these people, and it's been said before by national hosts, but I think it's true that these people hate Donald Trump more than they love the country or even their own party. Because I can remember with the Clinton impeachment, I can also remember back when Nixon was president. Of course, he wasn't impeached. He resigned. But, you know, I think moving forward with articles of impeachment, taking it to the Senate, where a foregone conclusion is that he will not be removed from office. But I think the backlash for the Democrats is such that I don't think that they will have any control of any branch of government probably for a couple of decades.
Really?
I think that this is a big nail in their coffin for a long, long time.
Well, the other route they could have taken, not taking this to the Senate, not voting on impeachment. I was talking with Jeff Poor yesterday, Jeff Poor from Yellowhammer News, and he was saying if the Democrats don't decide to go through with it, then you're looking at a lot of the Democrats that are holding office right now, like Jerry Nadler, who's mm-hmm. in charge of the House Judiciary Committee. They could lose to the left wing voters. They could lose out to farther left candidates. Like that's, we saw AOC win that seat there in New York, and so the Democrats that are kind of in charge right now, you look at Pelosi, you look at Schiff, you look at Nadler,
right,
they're feeling a lot of pressure from the far left, and they're also seeing what might happen or what probably will happen when it gets to Senate and what that could mean for the Democrats' hopes for a re-election.
Yeah, and that's the point I'm making. Now, they may, backing up and going with hypotheticals, if they had gone back with the censure route and backed away from impeachment, there's a case that they could have been primaried by a further left candidate, a socialist, a communist, mm-hmm. as it were. But if that were the case, and this is all hypothetical at this point, if that were the case, I think that the further left candidate could possibly lose to a moderate Republican in those districts. So, you know, moving forward may have, in their mind, seemed to be the most expedient mm-hmm. politically. But I think the long term, given the polls and the weariness of the American public going through this for 3 years now, basically, it's been impeachment for 3 years.
It has been.
With no any kind of high crimes or misdemeanors that anybody can point to. I mean, no crimes whatsoever on the president's part. You know, this is something that I think, you know, looking at it in the broad view, that this is extremely detrimental politically to the Democrats, and it's damaging to the country as a whole. This is not an easy thing for the country to sustain and to go through.
And that was the question you said earlier, high crimes and misdemeanor. That was the question that was misdemeanors. That was the question that was brought up yesterday in the first hearing for the House Judiciary Committee. And an interesting tactic from Nadler and the Democrats in charge there of who they decided to call up, and the Republicans, mm-hmm. they called up one person also. When we get back on Mobile Mornings, we'll talk about what happened yesterday. And, well, if you were kind of worn out by the Intelligence Committee, mm-hmm. I mean, at least there was some intrigue and drama there. I mean, having law professors testify, it's snooze city yesterday. But we'll talk about that when we get back. And also some local news, a new poll out for the Congressional First District in Alabama, and Bill Hightower and Jerry Carl currently on top. We'll talk about that and more on Mobile Mornings right here on FM Talk 106.5. All right, 822 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Dalton Orwig and Mark Holliday with you for hour three of today's show. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we talk with Rob Holbert from Lanyap. If you don't read Rob's Damn the Torpedoes article every single week, well, it's a treat. And this week it was really good. So I'm going to ask Rob about that. And he talks about his Thanksgiving week, some pretty interesting stuff. And we'll also, of course, talk about some of the local politics that are covered there in this week's edition of Lanyap. And yeah, if you just heard that promo, we will be out at your CBD store of West Mobile tomorrow, Midday Mobile Live from noon to 2 o'clock. Your CBD store of West Mobile, it's on Hillcrest Road, okay, right near Greelot. Mm-hmm. And it's right across from the Waffle House, kind of next to the Ollie's. I mean, you got a shopping center right there, and your CBD store of West Mobile, that's where it's located. Tomorrow, we'll make it easy for you. We'll have the FM Talk 106.5 mobile command unit parked out front. So just drive until you see us, right, and come on in, because they're having a Christmas open house and also really cool giveaways, a CBD SunMed relief bundle valued at over $240. And the store owner, Joe Brown, said they've got more giveaways there. So you'll want to come out and see us then. And also tonight, one of my favorite nights of the year, Fairhope Brewing Company. We are kicking off their 12 Bartenders of Christmas. It's the sixth year that they've done this at Fairhope, and it's charity bartending. So we'll be up there charity bartending tonight from 5 until 7. Come and let us pour you something from the tap, pour you one of the awesome craft beers from the tap, and the tips and donations go to Wilmer Hall Children's Home. So lots of pressure on me tonight to do a good job and get good tips. I'm looking for the tips, because it's all for a good cause.
Right.
And so a couple chances to come out and see us, and we'll have some FM Talk 106.5 huggers and those very valuable floating keychains that everybody seems to want, because we got a lot of people that need them around here.
No more than two finger head on your bruise. No more than two finger head.
No, well, my first one or two, you know, it takes me a minute. It is like riding a bike, but it's like if you ride a bike and you fall off the first time after not being off. So
exactly.
And so I think what I'll do tonight, I'll just drink that first one.
Right. Your practice pour.
Right, my practice pour. I'll take that one so that I can pour some good ones for everyone else.
There you go.
So I'm looking forward to that. We just heard from Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker Pelosi. She gave a press conference just about 20 minutes ago on where they stand for the impeachment process, and a lot of people wondering whether the Democrats would pull back and decide, instead of following through with the impeachment vote, that maybe they censure the president instead, because it looks like a foregone conclusion that once it makes it to Senate, that the Republicans will stay with party lines and not vote to remove the president from office. But that's not what Pelosi did. She instead said they're following through with impeachment. And that comes off the heels of yesterday, day one of the House Judiciary Committee taking over the reins of the impeachment hearings processes from the House Intelligence Committee. So Adam Schiff passing the baton to Jerry Nadler. And we're seeing the same stuff we've seen over the last month or two with the Democrats and Republicans going at each other. But at least with the House Intelligence Committee hearings, there was some intrigue and drama. I mean, they were calling up people with knowledge of the situation and not always firsthand knowledge of the situation. But there were storylines, right? You had you didn't know what they might say. Maybe they dropped some big bomb on this whole impeachment inquiry. And that turned out to not really shift any minds, at least according to polling, or if it did shift the minds of the American people, it wasn't enough to drastically change the polls, and it certainly didn't change the minds of a lot of Republicans that are currently holding seats.
Right.
So yesterday, the House Judiciary Committee, they had four, I guess witnesses is the wrong word here, but they called four people for interviews, and they were all legal scholars, constitutional scholars, and they asked them whether or not President Trump's actions with Ukraine were impeachable offenses, high crimes and misdemeanors. So how it worked out yesterday, the Democrats, they had three witnesses while the Republicans handpicked one. And of course, the witnesses that were called up by the Democrats unanimously agreed that the president violated the Constitution. But the one witness from the Republicans who also testified during then President Bill Clinton's impeachment trial, he offered a differing argument from the other three. That was Jonathan Turley, and he's a professor at the George Washington University Law School. He argued yesterday the Democrats were setting a dangerous precedent that could one day be used to smear one of their own if a Democrat president comes into office. Turley said he stated that he is not a supporter of President Trump and did not vote for Trump in the 2016 elections. And that was kind of surprising to me that the Democrats, the people that the Democrats called, the professors that were called up by the Democrats yesterday, were all pretty partisan when you look at it. One had written an article in the New York Times in 2017 arguing for the impeachment of Trump, and one I think had worked on President Obama's maybe not his administration, but they were working with the government while Obama was in office. But they all offered pretty partisan arguments. So you had Turley here, who said he didn't vote for Trump in 2016. He said he understood the Democrats are angry at the president, and he cautioned against the way they were conducting the impeachment inquiry. He said that what they will do, quote, or he said, consider what you'll do, quote, when the wind blows again, perhaps for a Democratic president.
Right.
So, and
which won't happen for another two decades if they continue to go through. Yeah, that's my prediction.
That's your prediction, and that's never happened. There's never been one party to hold it for that long. So that is quite the. If someone had to give you odds on that, I think you're looking at like maybe 250-1, 300-1, even longer shot than that. But hey, that's your prediction.
Yeah.
And as for the Democratic picked experts, they testified that the president abused his power in office by pressuring Ukraine to investigate his political rival and soliciting a foreign power for personal and political gain was exactly what the framers had in mind when they put the impeachment powers into the Constitution. And they also argued, and we've heard it, if the president was left unchecked, he could continue to invite foreign powers to help his upcoming election. So if you missed it yesterday, well, first off, I don't blame you. Most of us are working after the Thanksgiving holidays.
Catching up.
What happens if you took last week or half of last week off,
And you like
come
me.
Back and you come back to work and you know, you got to catch up because you missed a week, so you should be in there busting your butt.
Right.
If the boss comes by and sees you watching the impeachment, for however long it went on yesterday, 12 hours.
So you're so interested in somebody being removed from their job? We can handle that for you.
Yeah, seriously. And like I said, the hearings with the Intelligence Committee, those at least had some intrigue and drama. But when you get professors up there, I mean, how many of us have fallen asleep in class listening to teachers or professors talk? That's kind of what happened yesterday. And also the big story that came out of yesterday, at least in the right-wing media circles, you had the one professor get up there, and her name escapes me. I'll come up with it here in just a minute when I'm able to check back with the machine I call a computer.
Mm-hmm.
But she brought up the president's 13-year-old son, and she said she was talking about the president being elected by the people. He's not a king, she said. And then she said, just because he named his son Baron doesn't make him a baron. And she was making, I don't know, you want to call, whatever you want to call it, she was making a pun or something there. But a lot of right-wingers upset that she brought the president's 13-year-old into the discussion at all.
Right.
And an argument I saw on the left also was, well, wasn't it just a month or two ago that the president and right-wingers were going after Greta Thunberg, the 16-year-old climate activist? And, I think we should just leave the kids out of it completely. But the difference in these two, even though Barron is the first son, or actually, I guess he's like what, the third son,
the third first son.
He didn't put himself out there, right?
Well, that's it, and that's the difference between the a climate activist, even regardless of the age, they are promoting their own agenda or an agenda that has been foisted on them.
But can we as Americans agree, let's keep the nastiness out of the
we're
talking about the kids?
Yeah.
All right, coming back, Rob Holbert from Lanyap. Hey, thank you, Kane. 836 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Talking with Rob Holbert from Lanyap in just a minute. But first, let's check in with Louis Arata at McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning to you. And some great new deals passed down. You got the word from GM just the other day. Tell us what's going on the lot at McConnell.
We've got GM employee pricing.
Whoa.
I have never heard of this almost in December. I mean, with inventory levels the way they are, fortunately for us, we've got a truckload of trucks on the back lot. I mean, there's nowhere to park back here. I'm riding through here right now. You ought to come see it. You know, if you qualify, this is crazy. If you qualify for a couple of rebates that are out there, you can almost get $14,000 off a 2020 new body style pickup truck.
Goodness.
It's just unheard of. We got that pricing going on Yukons, Yukon XLs. You know, it's Christmas time and time to come buy a car at McConnell. And if you want to get a little too chilly in the morning, just check us out at McConnellAutomotive.com or give us a call at 251-476-4141.
And not just a great selection of new vehicles, but the pre-owned lot looking good too.
You know, I do all the pre-owned stuff, and I'm talking new cars because it is that now's the time to buy a car. People ask me, when's the best time to buy a car? Right now. Come by, pick it out. We've got all different kind of colors, four-wheel drives, two-wheel drives. Just come on by. See us. Just say hi to us. Come on by.
Yeah, come say hi. We appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
Louie Arata, go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive. You'll find McConnell on Dolphin Street just east of I-65. 838 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Dalton Orwig and Mark Holliday with you in hour number three of the Thursday edition. And because it's Thursday, that means we get to talk to Rob Holbert from Lanyap with a new edition in stands now and online. Hey, Rob.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are y'all?
Good. Doing great. And I loved reading your clinically insane Damn the Torpedoes article this week, and we got to get into that. But this week, Kratom, is that Kratom on the cover?
Kratom, yeah, it is, or Kratom, I think, is actually how it's pronounced.
Okay.
It's a pretty fascinating story because I didn't know much about it, honestly, but it's a Southeast Asian plant that is used by a lot of people, and it's, I guess it sort of stimulates a lot of opioid receptors, that type of thing. And some folks use it to get off of drugs. Some folks obviously use it for recreational purposes. It is legal in all but six states. And Alabama's one of them. And all along, so people who are coming through our state are getting pulled over and charged with trafficking and facing really, really stiff penalties. It's a fascinating story. We had one guy that was pulled over in Mississippi, and he told them he had all this kratom with him, and they said, okay, go on your way. And then they called ahead to Alabama and said, hey, this guy's coming through. It's illegal there. Pull him over. And they pulled him over, and now he's facing the life sentence in jail, basically.
Well, that's insane, especially with it being legal in so many states. And it kind of reminds me of, maybe a decade ago when Spice the fake marijuana, it was touted as fake marijuana, but we know it made people go insane and hurt a lot of people. But that was being sold in gas stations at the time.
Yeah, this is too, and it's the same kind of thing. It is one of these, it's one of these kind of over-the-counter drugs that people get and they come out. And I guess I'm old enough to remember when ecstasy was sold at record stores. there's things like that happen, but it's this is that kind of situation. But it's kind of odd because it is we're illegal. Florida's not, Mississippi's not. People come along I-10, get pulled over, and they get charged with basically as if they were carrying heroin.
Wow, crazy! Check out that story, the new edition of Lanyap, and locally, Mobile City Council just stays in the news these days, and a couple Mobile City Council matters to talk about. First, with the annexation vote going down, and they needed a supermajority on the council to agree, and they did not get that supermajority. It broke down along racial lines, and a 4-3 vote means the city will not annex in those 13,000 people in West Mobile. Your thoughts on that, Rob?
Well, I think you're going to see this continue, obviously, to be an issue. I think the next thing you're going to see is a lot of discussion about the police jurisdiction itself. The possible rolling back the police jurisdiction. If you remember in 2016, The majority of the council voted to reduce the size of the police jurisdiction, and that basically means the area where police patrol. So there's about 44 police officers that work that area, and the council voted. The majority voted to reduce that the size of the PJ by about half. But the three council members who voted against annexation also voted against reducing the police jurisdiction. And now, you know, in the wake of all this stuff, there was a lot of discussion about the money being spent out there, $24 million being spent in that area. And so, you know, there was a discussion now about rolling it back, but I think some people are now starting to realize it's probably going to create even bigger clamor for more annexation. And I think mm-hmm. this issue is one, you know, I really feel like that vote against allowing the annexation vote was really more about the annexation votes to come from that, you know, where what would come after that than anything, because there's 70,000 people in the police jurisdiction. And, you know, I think there's a lot of concerns about what that would mean in terms of, getting back into the whole racial split of the city. And, you know, unfortunately, that's what we're talking about. I still think that's really not what we ought to be discussing. We ought to be discussing whether it's good for the city and whether it's really where we should go in the future. And I think it's a sad thing we're talking about.
I agree with you. And do you think that if annexation comes back on the table, like, is that a possibility that maybe it comes back but with a lot more people from outside the city limits?
I think it's going to happen eventually. I think by denying those votes, you're probably going to see a stronger push by even more people, because there were a lot of people who wanted to be included, and it's going to be an issue. It will be an issue in the elections in 21. So I think you're going to see pro annexation candidates probably running against people who are against annexation. I'm still certain you're going to see that, and it's going to be a huge issue. And I'm sure that if the mayor runs for re-election, which I think he's going to, you're going to see that be a huge part of his platform.
Well, one of the things that we've been talking about with City Council this week, and looks like we'll keep talking about it, is what happens with Hank Aaron Stadium. Now, we got a couple different groups that have brought proposals. Now that the Bay Bears have they've transitioned into the Rocket City Trash Pandas, they've left us here and left Hank Aaron Stadium mostly empty. I mean, you have the Night of Lights. I think high right. school games might still be played there. But two groups, the Mobile Sports and Entertainment Group, which has some former Bay Bears staff on, they're yeah. looking to bring college and high school games and maybe concerts, things like that. And right. then you have the other group led by Tim Bennett, co-owner of Biloxi Stars, and he's wanting to maybe bring an Atlantic League team in. And this also will require a supermajority vote. So I don't know if this yeah. will be copy and paste from the annexation vote, but how are we looking here?
I think you're looking at copy and paste of the annexation vote. you're seeing I think you're seeing it break down again. I'm not saying that this is a racial matter, but I'm just saying you're breaking down between four and three on the council. It just happens to be the same four and three. I think you see right now the majority want to. Are more interested, it seems like, in going with the Mobile Sports Entertainment Group, while the other is more interested in Bennett's group. They both say that they're very interested in keeping Hank going, keeping alive. I think the Bennett plan has a much more stable plan for bringing baseball back into the park. I mean, in terms of professional baseball,
mm-hmm.
The other one is sort of, we want to get baseball back there. But we've got a bunch of other things we're going to do. High school baseball, we're going to do lights out there, we're going to have concerts, we're going to do a bunch of different things. So that's the decision to be made. Where is, are we trying to get baseball back in there? Is baseball coming back in there? Will it be supported by the city? Bennett has a great reputation and a great track record for doing these things. You know, so he has a strong hand in that regard. The others have a strong hand in that they've got a lot of different things. They're involved in the lights out there and a lot of other things. So there's I think positives on both sides, and it's going to be a tough decision for the council.
The thing that's interesting about Bennett's plan is he's talking about an Atlantic League team, and now right. so there's eight Atlantic League teams. Seven currently have homes. One is a traveling team, and that traveling team, if Bennett's plan is accepted, they would become the Mobile team, but not until 2021. And would that meet the requirements of this contract with the private landowner? And second, if the Mobile Bay Bears, a Double A team with future Major League Baseball players on that team, if they couldn't draw people out to Hank Aaron Stadium, how is an Atlantic League team going to draw people out?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of it, too, Dalton. I mean, the realities are that the previous owner, the ownership is really, really, really responsible for a lot of the marketing, for what goes on out there, you know, what's served out there, how the, you know, the concessions, all those things. That's the that's the ownership of the team. You know, it's not the city. People think that, I think there's just a misunderstanding. A lot of people think, well, the city didn't do this and the city didn't do that. It's really up to the team. And so, you know, a lot of this is marketing. A lot of it, if you're not marketing, and I mean, the Bay Bears didn't market. They just didn't market their games. They didn't tell people what was going on. And I mean, I can go on and on about it. We dealt with them for years in terms of trying to, I mean, we gave them advertising, and it was, there were a couple, I mean, we gave them advertising, and I think 2 years of that, they'd never even sent an ad in. You know, so, I mean, it's one of those things that just really weren't marketing very much. So, you know, I think Mobile will support it, but you got to make it, you know, you have to make it an event. I don't know that a lot of people are going out there just to see a star, you know, a potential future star. Most people didn't know who the players are, so... Mm-hmm. I think baseball is baseball, and people will enjoy it if it's an enjoyable experience. But, you know, I think a lot of it is just really what's the product you're providing out there. Is it good value? Is it good food? Is it fun? You know,
so, it's the baseball game
I guess the proof will be in the pudding. But it's, you know, we supported the Bay Bears for a long time until we didn't.
Yeah, it's the baseball game that's the foundation for the entertainment event. I think if you go to any minor league city, that you'll find that the ones that are successful have other entertainment value to the event more so than just a baseball game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's got to be something where you can bring your kids out there and not spend $200, and you can have a good time, and it's all those things. And, you know, I mean, I remember the Bay Sharks when they were here. They were fun, and it was not a big time team. It was kind of a fun experience to go out to Yankee Field, and it was a little more simple. And I think that's, you know, there's opportunities. I think there are. I think when you look back at when the attendance really fell off, it really coincides with the city finding out, or with becoming public, that the Bay Bears weren't paying their rent, and they owed a whole bunch of money to the city, and I think that really kind of started to sour people on it.
Sure. All right, a new edition of Lanyap on stands now and online. Rob, tell folks how they can sign up to get the online edition.
Well, it's a great time to sign up because we have a Christmas special. So, you know, we've got a paywall now, and it's only 21 cents a day, but now it's 25% cheaper. I can't do the math. That's, you know, four, you know, whatever it is, 6 cents cheaper a day. So, you know, get on there and, you know, sign up. You get unlimited access to all of our articles, all the stuff that's going on all week, breaking news, archives, everything you want to know. And you can check us out. You can also pick us up in the stands, of course, at 1,500 different locations all around Mobile and Baldwin County.
All right. We appreciate it, Rob.
All right, guys. Y'all have a terrific day.
You do.
That's Rob Holbert, Lanyap. And coming back, we'll wrap up Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. This is FM Talk 106.5 with Dalton Norwig and Mark Holliday. Thanks, Kane. Welcome back. Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Orwig, and wrapping up the Thursday edition of Mobile Mornings on the way, the Mike Gallagher Show and Midday Mobile at noon. Got a new survey out there for they polled people and found the worst possible gifts that you can get someone. And, well, the number one answer was there's no such thing as a bad gift, which is actually total nonsense. So according to the survey, other than that one incorrect answer, here are the 10 worst gifts you can get someone. So I'm sorry if you went ahead and bought these for someone. Maybe think of another idea. But if you're going out and shopping, don't do this. Okay, number one, shower gel. The worst gift you can get someone. And you might be sending them a message that could hurt their feelings, but who knows? Maybe they need that hurt feelings to start smelling a little better. Number two, popcorn. Okay, number three, this is a big one, socks, although my mother-in-law now sends me socks every year, and I'm I'm actually weirdly thankful that she does, because I wait for that for my re-up. Number four, a collection of lotions. Number five, a coffee mug. Oh, come on. The kids love giving the parents and grandparents coffee mugs. Number six, liquor. Who did this survey? Liquor, according to them, a worst gift you can send. I disagree with that. Number seven, tea. Number eight, a candle. Number nine, a photo calendar. And number 10, coffee. So they polled people to see the worst gift you can get someone for Christmas, and that's what they came up with. Hey, a really good gift you could get someone for Christmas, or, you know, treat yourself. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and the crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They'll come out to your house, and they'll get rid of that junk you've been staring at for far too long. And I know you haven't been doing anything with it, even though you've had plans for it for a long time. So have Trey Bennett and the crew at 1-800-GOT-JUNK come out and get the junk that's either too heavy for you to move, or if you don't know where to take it, or if it's you don't know whether it's if you should take it and put it in the dumpster or not. Maybe it's a TV or a printer or has batteries in it. Well, the 1-800-GOT-JUNK crew know exactly what to do with that junk. They'll come out and take care of it for you. They come out right when you set the appointment time. Don't give you a big window. And the price you get quoted is the price you'll end up paying. So give them a call today, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or go to the website 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. And you can't go wrong with that gift if you get it for someone. That does it for Mobile Mornings here on FM Talk 106.5. Come see us tonight. We'll be at the Fairhope Brewing Company, the 12 Bartenders of Christmas. Charity bartending from 5 until 7 p.m. Tips and donations go to Wilmer Hall Children's Home. And tomorrow, Midday Mobile will be live from noon to 2 at your CBD store of West Mobile on Hillcrest Road. They're having a Christmas open house, also giving away a CBD SunMed relief bundle valued at over $240, plus more giveaways. And you come out, it's your chance to win. Come see us tonight and come see us then. FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings, and that does it for Thursday. Have a good one.